ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ॐ ज्ञानदमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीति नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो वी विल स्टडी चैप्टर 22 द मैरिज ऑफ कर्दम मुनि एंड देवहूति। So the first 7 verses, Swambhu Mano, he glorifies Kardam Muni, that the first section. Then Swambhu Mano in the next section, next 7 verses, 8 to 14, Swambhu Mano offers his daughter to Kardam Muni. Then the next section, 15 to 20, 6 verses, Kardamuni accepts the offer with one condition. Next 4th section is a description of that they just get married and Swambhu Mano returns. And last section, which is like 12 verses 28 to 39, that's the glories of Swambhu Mano. Text 1. Maitreya uvacha eva mavishkritashesha unakarma dayo munim savrida evatam samrad uparatam uvachaha.
Shri Maitreya said, after describing the greatness of the emperor's manifold qualities and activities, the sage became silent, and the emperor, feeling modesty, addressed him as follows.
So, Kardamuni glorified the emperor's qualities and activities in the last section, where he says that you are traveling to kill the demons and to protect the virtuous. You are embodying the protective energy of the Supreme Lord. You can assume the role of, when necessary, of different demigods, right? And you could punish somebody, you could instruct somebody, right? You could protect the dharma, etc., right? And if you would not travel around, right, with your mighty bow in your hand and then twang the bow, then, you know, all those things, he glorified him. Then there would be upstarts would flourish and there would be obstruction to the practice of dharma. Right? So in this way, he glorified the king's performing his duties very well, so that the dharma may flourish. So therefore, so this verse is, after he described Swayambhu Manu, he felt modest. Modest means he didn't like, it's the opposite of, he didn't feel he's such a great person. He felt kind of himself to be a humble, lowly person. Right? So that's the nature of, we can see, the great soul. When someone glorifies a person who is, you know, very Krishna conscious, who is, you know, fixed in his service and fixed in the humility, on glorification he further becomes humble. You know, how is that? Like usually if you glorify, people may become puffed up. When great souls are glorified, they become further humble. How? So they again remember that how, you know, through this insignificant person, the Lord is, you know, my spiritual master, Krishna. He is even using this insignificant or a broken instrument to do something good. Right? Or all that their glories, they pass it on to their spiritual master and Krishna. And remember their greatness. Remembering their greatness, they become humble. Right? So if a person, the more a person remembers the greatness of the Lord, the more humble he feels. So passing out on these glories to the Lord, or thinking how their mercy has made me act in this way, in either case, remembering the greatness of the Lord, their humility increases. So therefore, they even when they are glorified, their humility increases. Those who are fixed in, you know, in their Krishna consciousness, in the principle of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here in is very clearly mentioned that he felt himself modest. Right? That I am not a great person. Right? Modest means text 2. Manur uvacha. Brahma srijat samukhato yushmanatma paripsaya chandomayastapo vidya yoga yuktan lampatan.
Manu replied, to expand himself in Vedic knowledge, Lord Brahma, the personified Veda, from his face created you, the Brahmanas, who are full of austerity, knowledge and mystic power and are averse to sense gratification.
Okay, so now Manu is actually glorifying the exalted position of Kardam Muni. So he is saying that Lord Brahma, who is also the Vedas personified, he created you all Brahmanas. Right? He created the class of Brahmanas, of whom you are one of the prominent Brahmanas. So he created you all Brahmanas from his own face, right? In order to expand the Vedic knowledge. And then the four important qualities of the Brahmanas are mentioned over here, which is tapo, vidya, yoga, yuktan, and fourth is alampatan. That the Brahmanas were endowed with austerity, they are endowed with knowledge and mystic power, yoga, yuktan. Alampatan means averse to sense gratification. So Manu glorifies, and Prabhupada also says in the purport, second line, the Brahmanas were created from the mouth of the Supreme Person, and therefore they are meant to spread the knowledge of the Vedas in order to spread the glories of the Lord. And then the middle of the purport, Prabhupada says, those who engage in sense gratification are called demons. And those who spread the glorification of the Lord or satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord are called demigods. Text 3. Tatranaya srujas chasman doho sahasra sahasrapad sahasra sahasrapad hridayam tasya hi brahma shatramangam prachakshate.
For the protection of the Brahmanas, the thousand-legged supreme being created us, the Kshatriyas, from his thousand arms. Hence the Brahmanas are said to be his heart and the Kshatriyas his arms.
Okay, so Shambhu Muni is saying that the Supreme Lord, he calls the Supreme Lord here as Sahasrara, Sahasrapat, right? The famous names of the Lord, especially in Purusha Shukta prayers, right? The Lord is addressed by these names. So Hridayam Tasya Hi Brahma, the Brahmanas are Lord's heart, and Kshatriyas are his arms. So, Prabhupada points out third line, Brahmanas are supposed to be the head of the social body. If the head is clear and has not gone mad, then everything is in proper position. The Lord is described thus, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. The purport of this verse is that the Lord specifically protects the Brahmanas and cows, and then he protects all other members of the society, Jagat Hitaya. Or one can understand that the Lord specifically protects Brahmanas and the cows, and by that protection all other members are also protected. Right? So that protection also ensures the protection of other members also. So, go to text 4. Ato hi anyunyam atmanam brahmashatram cha rakshatah rakshati sma vayo deva soya asadatmaka.
That is why the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas protect each other as well as themselves, and the Lord himself, who is both the cause and effect and is yet immutable, protects them through each other.
So he's saying, so the Lord has created such a system that the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, they protect each other, and the Lord, who is the cause and effect of both, he protects them both. So Vishnu Thakur says, Brahmana protects Kshatriya by the strength of austerity. Kshatriyas protect Brahmanas by the strength of their body. And the Supreme Lord protects them both. Right? Another kind of... So basically, Kshatriyas give physical protection. Brahmanas give them clear knowledge, that is also like a protection, right? Clear understanding. So Brahmanas protect Kshatriya by giving them scriptural knowledge, right? What should be done in this particular context, right? How the Vedic knowledge, which principle applies in this particular situation, right? Ambarish Maharaj, just like he consulted the Brahmanas, that the time for fast breaking is going. Another one dharma is to respect the guests. Another dharma is to break the fast on time, right? So he consulted the Brahmanas. What should be done in this situation, right? So like that. So, and because he, so many times mentioned, because he consulted the Brahmanas, right? Who were learned and broke the fast, so he was not implicated, even Ambarish Maharaj. So if you see, because of his concerning Brahmanas, the Brahmanas protected him. Right? So Durvasa Muni came to trouble. Right? Because he did the right thing. Right? So in this way, Prabhupada here points it out. In the fourth line, Kshatriyas also are intended to be enlightened by the Brahmanas. That means their protection. By enlightening them, the Brahmanas protect the Kshatriyas. When the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas cooperate nicely, the other subordinate divisions, the Vaishyas and the Shudras, automatically flourish. Right? So you see that point. So the Supreme Lord, he makes such a system that Kshatriyas are protected by Brahmanas, the Brahmanas protect the Kshatriyas. When they are flourishing, the other classes automatically flourish. Right? So therefore, this is for protection of the Brahmanas and the cows, also protects the whole world in one sense. Right? Jagadhitaya follows. When the Brahmanas are protected, the cows are protected, then the whole world is automatically benefits. Brahmanas are protected. Supreme Lord has created a system by which Brahmanas are protected by Kshatriyas. In turn, Kshatriyas are protected by Brahmanas, and the cows are also protected, and the whole world is benefited. Right? So Prabhupada points out again, if you see, as nicely over here, the entire elaborate system of Vedic society was therefore based on the importance of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The Lord is the real protector, but he is unattached to the affairs of the protection. He creates Brahmanas for the protection of Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas for the protection of Brahmanas. He remains aloof from the activities. Therefore, he is called Nirvikar. So basically, Supreme Lord is aloof also, but he is very much involved also, we have to understand. So therefore, the Lord in this creating this Varnashrama system and creating the duties of Brahmana Kshatriyas for each other's protection, he said, Prabhupada points out that the Lord's energies are acting. He doesn't have to then get personally involved. Right? So the Lord manages, as we had discussed, especially in the material realm, his energies act. Right? So in this way, creating this system, creating the Brahmanas from his own, you know, parts of the body, from the part of the, he has mentioned Virat Rupa, right? So the Lord creates this system and his energies are acting, and in this way the Lord protects each, the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, and the whole world is benefited. That is mentioned. So again, this line is important. The entire system of Vedic society was therefore based on the importance of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, mainly the two upper classes. If there is a good cooperation in that, then the others are automatically benefited. Right? So one point is that even in our own ISKCON history, we have experienced the clash between the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas. Right? Because the Kshatriyas in this ISKCON setup are like the managers, right? The Brahmanas are like the renounce order, right? Even during Prabhupada's time, there was a big kind of conflict between the temple managers and the renunciants. You know, the renunciants were traveling and preaching. They would pick up, you know, the bus party, especially formed by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj and other sannyasis. They would pick up so many people from the temple and they will say, you know, why live like this? Come, you know, and travel and preach. While the manager will say, they picked up our key person, how will the temple administration be going on, right? So then all the temple presidents, they all came at Mayapur and they lodged a complaint, you know, this is what is happening to Prabhupada. And the other party also presented their viewpoint, you know, how we have expanded book distribution and Sankirtan and so many things, right? So there was like a, if you see, read through, it was like a classical conflict between, you know, administrator, manager class and renounced preacher class, kind of, you know. Even sometime, even nowadays also sometime, you know, in certain temple, this actually clash may exist, right? There is the people who are managing everything, the other who are just preaching, going and out, preaching out, right? So what happens is, the preaching class, they feels, you know, this manager is only lording over, not going out, you know, just controlling the things, right? And the administrators, you know, they feel, you know, they are not helping in the administration of the temple, you know, just, you know, in this way, kind of, you know, simply taking the facilities only, you know, and then cribbing so much, you know, so like that, you know. So, but the whole point is, Brahmanas and Kshatriya, here we see a very good, you know, here Kardam Muni is a typical Brahmana, right? And Shambhu Manu, he's a Adi Rat, you know, he's the first emperor, right? He's a perfect Kshatriya. But we see how they have respect for each other's service. Kardam Muni is not saying, you know, you stay with so many queens in the palace and all that, there is no austerity, there is no knowledge, you know, there is no realization, etc. He's not saying that, if you see. He glorifies him for his service, that, you know, you go around the kingdom and you twang the bow and, you know, miscreants, you check them so that we can practice dharma, right? So if you see, the both in the glorification of each other, they don't see them, you know, they don't see, they're not pointing out the negativities or something that you're lacking in this or that. But they are saying how your service is helping me so much. Right? So therefore, that's very important between the administrative class and the renounced class. Right? Between the managers and the preachers, basically, in ISKCON setup, if you see. Each person has to understand the importance of other service which is supporting his service. Right? So if those who are doing all the administration work and those who are doing the preaching activity, they have mutual respect. And for each other's service, there is a mutual cooperation. Then all the other subjects flourish. Right? So then all the other, those who are under them, you know, basically these two are the most important class. This is the preachers and the administrators. Then the whole congregation will flourish if the preachers and the administrators, managers and the preachers, if they have a good healthy relation based upon appreciation and cooperation. Right? They are appreciating each other's service and they are cooperating. Then the whole congregation will actually flourish. Right? Otherwise the congregation will suffer between the two, you know, because both have substantial influence. Right? Like that. So, and then that cooperation, so first of all, everyone will flourish by the cooperation between these two classes, which is important. And secondly, Prabhupada points out that by this cooperation, the Supreme Lord will be pleased. So this cooperation will also attract Krishna's mercy. Right? So that Prabhupada points out in the second paragraph. So Prabhupada says, individually oneself may differ from others in certain qualities and may engage in different activities such as those of Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya. But when there is complete cooperation among different individual souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul, Paramatma, being one in every individual soul, is pleased and give them all protection. So Prabhupada is saying that individually or individual platform, a person will be engaged in different activities and he will manifest different qualities. Other person is engaged in different set of activities and is having different qualities. Right? So therefore one should not just see that, one should not see a Kshatriya from Brahminical lenses only. You know that he is not practicing, he is this kind of austerity, he doesn't have this much knowledge, etc. Right? And Kshatriya may say, oh, he is not doing any management, you know, etc. He just simply goes out, preaches and come back. Right? So, etc. You know, if you see from that lens only, that he is not helping any of the administrative work, etc. Or is not going out and helping in fund collection. You know, he is only spending money in the preaching. So, like that. So, a Kshatriya should not see Brahmana from his own lenses, basically. So therefore Prabhupada points out that they have different qualities and different activities. So one should not see each other from his own activities and qualities. Rather, one should have a complete cooperation between the different individuals. Right? And that cooperation attracts Krishna's mercy, basically. Again, Prabhupada reiterates that point in the last 3-4 lines of the same paragraph. This is the idea of the institution of 4 varnas and 4 ashramas. If the member of the different ashramas and varnas cooperate fully in Krishna consciousness, then society is well protected by the Lord, without doubt. Right? Without a doubt. So, and among the 4, most importantly, the above 2 should cooperate. Then the others will also naturally, automatically cooperate if the 2 higher orders cooperate. So we go to text 5. Tava sandarshana deva chinname sarva samshaya yat swayam bhagavan pritya dharma mahari rikshisho.
Now I have resolved all my doubts simply by meeting you, for your lordship has very kindly and clearly explained the duty of a king who desires to protect his subjects.
Okay, so he says, Sambhu Manu, I have resolved all my doubts. Right now I am free from all samshaya, free from any kind of misconception that may be there. For you have very kindly explained duty of a king. Right? You have very clearly and kindly explained the duty of a king. Right? So where did he explain the duty of a king? He actually glorified Swambhu Manu, right? But Swambhu Manu is saying, you actually explained my duties, right? So it's a very important thing. If a person praises, you know, another person, that you know that you are doing the service with so much enthusiasm, right? And you're not critical about other devotees. You are doing very much in cooperation, right? And you are helping all others, so one should say, oh, you are my well-wisher, you are minding all the duties, right? So that appreciation is taken by Swambhu Manu as reminder of his duties. So this is what he should be doing, right? So therefore, if a person is glorifying a particular person for his particular service, that glorification can also be taken as reminder for one's duty, that how I should be acting actually. So therefore, that is like coming out here. So he said, you have very clearly explained. Although the very first verse says, and what does very first verse says? After describing the greatness of emperor qualities and activities, the sage became silent. From his viewpoint, he described his qualities and greatness. But from his perspective, Swambhu Manu is taking it as a reminder for my duties. Right? But... Yeah. But herein, Prabhupada mainly glorifies, and very beautifully, this extremely beautiful purport, Prabhupada glorifies the saintly association. Now here Swambhu Manu, in this series of verses, he glorifies at how he has been so much benefited by the association of Kardamuni, even for a short while. Right? So even this short saintly association has been very much beneficial. First benefit, he is saying that I have been very clear about all my duties. This is by meeting you. So Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya says one should always try to associate with saintly persons, because if one establishes a proper association with saintly person, even for a moment, one attains all perfection. What is that verse? Sadhu sangha, sarva shastra kai, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hai. Okay, someone should read from sixth line, in our personal experience.
In our personal experience, we have actual proof of this statement of Manu. Once we had the opportunity to meet Vishnupad Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and on first sight he requested this humble self to preach his message in the western countries. There was no preparation for this, but somehow or other he desired it. And by his grace, we are now engaged in executing his order, which has given us a transcendental occupation and has saved and liberated us from the occupation of material activities.
Right, so this is a very heartfelt statement. Prabhupada is saying, our spiritual master, he requested this humble self to preach. There was no preparation for this. Right? It's practically Prabhupada didn't have any, you know, financial preparation, or even he had just published only first canto. He didn't have any resources actually as such to start a worldwide mission. But somehow he desired, Prabhupada says. And by his grace, we are now engaged in executing his order. And Prabhupada says, what has been the benefit of executing his order? Right? Which has given us a transcendental occupation and has saved and liberated us from the occupation of material activities. Prabhupada said, I just stepped forward, okay, let me try. Right? But that has given me a great transcendental occupation. And it has saved and liberated, Prabhupada is saying, us from the occupation of all material activities. Right? So the very heartfelt gratitude. Other thing is, Prabhupada says from his side, he only requested. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur requested. And then what does Prabhupada says? We are engaged in executing his order. So another important point is, even if a saintly person requests a person to do something, that should be taken as his order. Right? So even a great saintly person may say, you know, you may try to do this. One should take those words as instruction and not simply, you know, the, okay, he is requested, I will check it out whether it can be done or not. Right? So here in Kardamuni, although he glorifies, Swambhu Manu kind of take it that this is, he is reminding me, or this is his instruction, I should carry out these duties. So therefore says, I've been cleared of all misconception. Right? So basically, even if a person is appreciating, you know, that appreciation, he takes it as a kind of instruction that I should carry out this. Or even if it's a request from a saintly person, that is also to be considered an instruction. Okay, and there is a great potency actually, you know, when great people, saintly person, they may even request a person and a person carries out, then there is a special potency, as Prabhupada is pointing out, you know, that somehow or other he tried, and now Prabhupada says it is actually, you know, it is expanded like anything. I have got a great transcendental occupation and liberation from all kind of material activities. Right? So Prabhupada received, you know, unprecedented success success which even people, you know, after 50 years feel like a miracle. Right? That success was like a miracle on part of Prabhupada, how Prabhupada preached in those 10 years so extensively. Right? So, when one actually surrenders oneself to the instruction of a saintly person, then one receives special empowerment from the Lord. Right? That's also one of the important principles. So Prabhupada continues, this is a very beautiful purport. Read from where you left. Thus it is actually a fact.
Thus it is actually a fact that if one is a saintly person completely engaged in transcendental duties and achieves his favor, then one's life mission becomes complete. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of lives can be achieved in one moment. Right. If there Prabhupada is an opportunity.
So Prabhupada is making very beautiful statement from his first hand realization. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of life can be achieved in one moment if there is opportunity to meet a saintly person. Yes, go ahead.
It is therefore enjoined in Vedic literature that one should always try to associate with saintly persons and try to disassociate oneself from the common man. Because by one word of a saintly person, one can be liberated from material entanglement. A saintly person has the power, because of his spiritual advancement, to give immediate liberation to the conditioned soul.
Right. Again, Prabhupada very beautifully says, one word of a saintly person can by one word of a saintly person, one can be liberated from material entanglement. Right? By one movement, the result of thousands of life can be achieved. Right? So very beautifully, from his own first hand realization, Prabhupada writes this and glorifies saintly association. Right? Or association here would employ a favor. Right? Favor could be in the form of, in any way, right? A request which Prabhupada, especially favor means if he carries out his words, right? A person may speak something, and just if a person tries to carry out, then he is actually so much blessed. Right? He will receive the result of thousands of lifetime. He will be liberated immediately just by trying to carry out few words which we have spoken, right? In a short duration of time, like that. So, very beautiful purport Prabhupada describes over here in. Go to text 6. Nishtya me Bhagavan drishto Nurdarsho yo akritatmanam Nishtya padar jaspristam Shirshna me bhavata shivam.
It is my good fortune that I have been able to see you. For you cannot easily be seen by persons who have not subdued the mind or controlled the senses. I am all the more fortunate to have touched with my head the blessed dust of your feet.
Okay, so if Swayambhu Manu further says, then he has been very fortunate to be able to see him and also to be able to receive the fortunate dust of his feet on his head. Right? Read the first 6 lines of the purport.
The perfection of transcendental life can be achieved simply by touching the holy dust of the lotus feet of a holy man. In the Bhagavatam it is said, Mahatpad Rajo Abhishekam, which means to be blessed by the holy dust of the lotus feet of a Mahat, a great devotee. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanastu, those who are great souls are under the spell of spiritual energy, and their symptom is that they fully engage in Krishna consciousness for the service of the Lord.
Yes. So, first commenting upon Dishtaya Pad Rajas Prishtam, that I have been fortunate to receive dust. So, Prabhupada gives 2 quotations, one from Bhagavatam, one from Bhagavad Gita. Right? That how one should receive the dust from the feet of a holy person. Mahat Padar Jobhishekham. This is from Prahlad Maharaj. Right? What is the full verse? Matirna Krishne Parato Sotova Mitho Vipadde Grahavratanam Dantu Gobhir Vishatam Tamishram. No, it's not that. Matirna Krishna Mahat Padar Jobhishekham. Nacha, this is something the person Parato Sotova. Unless one accepts the dust from the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, his mati cannot go towards Krishna. I don't know whether that is the Matirna Krishna only or Krishna Parato Sutova Mitho Vipadyet Grahavataranam. Oh, that is Mahat Padra Jobhishekam. It is fifth canto then. It's not Prahlad Maharaj. Rahu Ganayat Tapasana Yati Na Chejya Nivrupad Garhadva Na Chandasam Naiv Jalagni Suryar Mahat Padra Jobhishekam. Right, it's the fifth canto verse. Prahlad Maharaj's verse is what then? Prahlad Maharaj also has with the dust of the lotus feet of our devotee. What is that verse? One of the very famous verses. Right? Unless one smears the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, seventh canto verse. Right? So anyway, you'll be able to. Nasham Matis Tavad Rukkaram Angrim Sparshate Anartho Pago Yadartha. Yeah, Mahiyasam Padra Jobhishekam. Right. So Prahlad Maharaj says, what is the verse? No. What is the verse number? Nesham Matis Tavad Rukkarang. This 7532 is another verse where Prahlad Maharaj says, and this verse is spoken by Jad Bharat to King Rahugan, fifth canto, that you will study. This is also a very famous verse. Mahat Padra Jobhishekam Nishkinchana Naam Navanita Yavat. So, yeah. So what is the meaning of to be smearing, to do Abhishek from the dust of the feet of Vaishnava? Primarily following their instruction, right? Or hearing from them submissively and following the instruction, right? The main service to saintly person is to hear from them, actually, in one sense. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to say, you know, some people would say and come, what can we do for you? He would say, lend me your ear, give me your ear. You know, that is the main service you can do. Lend me your ear. Hear from what I have to say. Accept the message, you know, which I have for you. Right? So, to submissively hear and follow the instruction is actually Mahat Padra Jobhishekam. Right? Just like Sarvabhauma Prabhu, he gives the example. Said you walk on a dusty road, you know, village road. And if you walk behind a spiritual personality, then you get a Rajo Abhishekam, right? So therefore, following in the footsteps, basically, you know, to become a follower of a saintly person, to become a follower. Follower mainly means one who follows the teachings, one who receives instruction and carry out the instruction. That means a follower, right? Not a physical follower as such. So therefore, that is the meaning of Mahat Padra Rajo Abhishekam in one sense, to receive instruction and to carry out the instruction. Right? To hear Krishna Katha and to spread the glories of Krishna. Or to become a submissive, you know, a humble submissive disciple dedicated to carry out the instruction. That is the understanding of Mahat Padra Jobhishekam as such. Some people actually physically also, some people kind of, you know, take out the dust sometime forcibly also or whatever, you know, and smear, right, like that. But that's not the, like the mood of Mahat Padra Jobhishekam. So, Yes, so then Prabhupada glorifies parampara system. That is also very important. The parampara system of disciplic succession is very important as a means of spiritual success. One becomes a mahat by the grace of mahat spiritual master. So, Prabhupada is pointing out, actually, no one can become a mahat without the mercy of another mahat. Someone should read from fifth line, Maharaj Rahugan. I'll read the next five, six lines. Maharaj Rahugan asked,
when Maharaj Rahugan asked Jada Bharat about his wonderful achievement of spiritual success, he replied to the king that spiritual success is not possible simply by following the rituals of religion or simply by converting oneself into a sannyasi or offering sacrifices as recommended in the scriptures. These methods are undoubtedly helpful for spiritual realization, but the real effect is brought about by the grace of a Mahatma.
Okay, so very important line. The same Prabhupada is explaining the same verse. Rahuganaita tapasanayati. O King Rahugan, highest perfection in spiritual life is not achieved simply by tapasa, by performing tapa or by Vedic study or by taking, performing many the ritualistic ceremonies, etc. Right? Na chandasa, naivajalagni suryo, by this Vedic study, etc. It is only possible by receiving the grace. Right? Mahatpadra jobhishekam. Now, achieve it by receiving the grace. Right? So, when one carries out the instruction of spiritual master, then there is so much mercy and grace which follows. Right? So, therefore, Prabhupada, when he says not by this, not by this, not by this, Prabhupada gives a very balanced understanding. Prabhupada says these methods, sacrifices, studying of scriptures, austerity, etc., these methods are undoubtedly helpful for spiritual realization, but the real effect is brought, by the grace of a Mahatma. Right? By the grace of a Mahatma. So this particular principle is illustrated in the life of Srila Ishwar Puri. Right? Srila Ishwar Puri. Ishwar Puri Gosai Kare Shri Pada Sevan Sohaste Karena Mal Mutradi Marjan. Right? Ishwar Puri Goswami, he served, Shri Pada refers to Madhavendra Puri. Right? He served him and with his own hand he cleansed the stool and urine. Right? He was not able, Madhavendra Puri had practically become invalid, he was unable to move. Right? So he would render this menial service. Right? So then he said, also he helped him, Nirantar Krishna Naam Karai Shravan, Krishna Naam Krishna Katha Sunai Anukshan. He helped him to always hear Krishna Katha and Krishna Naam, Ishwar Puri, at the end of the life. Purita retushta hoila adila eivar. Right? And Madhavendra Puri became very, very satisfied with Ishwar Puri. Right? And he said, tushta hai apurita re dila eivar. That may Krishna, may you receive the, the wealth of Krishna Prem, he said. Krishna tumar hauk premadhan. Tushta hai apuri tare kaila alingan var dila krishne tomar hau premadhan. Right? Tushta hai, he became very much satisfied. Right? Tushta hai apuri tare kaila alingan. Madhavendra Puri embraced Ishwar Puri and just pronounced one statement. Right? Krishne tomar hau premadhan. May you receive wealth of love for Krishna. Sai hai te Ishwar Gosai premera sagar. Right? He said, may you receive wealth of Krishna. He didn't say how much wealth. He said, but ocean of wealth came. The whole ocean, of love of Godhead, he became the embodiment of the whole ocean of love of Godhead. Just by that one line, may you achieve wealth. Right? That is the power of blessings of a pure devotee. Right? He may pronounce one small statement may this happen. And that happens in such a quantity that one cannot imagine actually, right? So therefore, he glorified by saying, just by serving Madhavendra Puri, he became the embodiment of the whole ocean of love for Krishna, so much so that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as a spiritual master. Can you imagine the Supreme Lord accepting someone as spiritual master? All that happened only by the grace of a Mahat, which Prabhupada says, the real effect is brought by the grace of Mahatma. Right? So other processes are only helpful, they are assisting processes. But the real effect is brought by the grace of Mahatma. Right? So that is something very important, right? So one should aspire for, you know, serving and satisfying all the Vaishnavas, especially those who are great souls, right? Those who are fixed in Krishna service. If one receives opportunity to serve them, satisfy them, one should grab that opportunity and consider oneself to be fortunate. Right? So Prabhupada in the series of verses where Swayambhu Muni glorifies Karna Muni, Prabhupada mainly focuses on satisfying the great saintly persons, satisfying the spiritual master, serving a pure devotee. Right? So that is the theme of this series of verses. Text 7. Nishtyatvanu shishtoham kritasyanugraho mahan apavritay karnarandhrair jushta dishtyoshatir gira.
I have fortunately been instructed by you, and thus great favor has been bestowed upon me. I thank God that I have listened with open ears to your pure words.
Right. So he is saying dishtya, the word dishtya is used number of times. Dishtya means by great fortune. Right? Remember this word, dishtya will come in many verses in the future also. Dishtya is by good fortune. Dishtva, by good fortune, tvaya anushishtoham. By good fortune you have instructed me. Kritaschanugraho mahan. That is your great favor. Right? That you are given me instruction on my duties. Right, which was actually his, as we discussed, he glorified him, but he took it as his instructions. Apavritaya kandarandhraya jushta adishtyo gira. I thank God that I have listened with open ears to your pure words. Right? So, Prabhupada says in the fifth line, read the fifth line up till the end of the paragraph, a bona fide spiritual master.
A bona fide spiritual master or saintly person always desires to elevate a common man who comes to him. Because everyone is under the delusion of Maya and is forgetful of his prime duty, Krishna consciousness, a saintly person always desires that everyone becomes a saintly person. It is the function of a saintly person to invoke Krishna consciousness in every forgetful common man.
Okay, so therefore, one should listen. Right? And then Prabhupada says in the next paragraph, third line, it is specially mentioned that one should be very inquisitive to hear with open ears from the authorized source of a bona fide spiritual master. Right? You remember the words of Prabhupada that... Okay, first let's read some of these points Prabhupada makes. Commenting upon... Karnarandhraer, apavritay karnarandhraer, with wide open ears. Right? Some of the ears are always open, you know. Ears, like eyelids you can close, mouth you can close, nose sometimes becomes choked up. But most of the time, ears remain open. Right? You know, when a person is sleeping, ears are always wide open. There is no shutters in the ears, you know, like the eyes, the eyelids, etc. Right? Ears are always open. Right? So that means the hearing is very important actually. For human being, the ear plays the most important role. Right? So Prabhupada says the word Kanarandhra means Do you see that? The same paragraph, few lines ahead, two lines ahead.
Yes.
The word Kanarandhra means through the holes of the ears. The favor of the spiritual master is not received through any other part of the body but the ears. Right? So like we have been talking of the favor of the spiritual master. Right? So Prabhupada very much clarifies here. The favor of the spiritual master is received through the ears, not any other part of the body. And what is that favor? Then Prabhupada explained that favor. Next four lines ahead. The real fact is that a bona fide spiritual master knows the nature of a particular man and what sort of duties he can perform in Krishna consciousness, and he instructs him in that way. He instructs him through the ears, not privately but publicly. You are fit for such and such work in Krishna consciousness. You can act in this way. Right? So there is an instruction, Prabhupada says. So then Prabhupada further explains, one person is advised to act in Krishna consciousness by working in the DD room. Another is advised to act in Krishna consciousness performing editorial work. Another is advised to do preaching work. Another is advised to carry out Krishna consciousness in the cooking department. Right? So cooking, preaching, DD service and printing. Right? Prabhupada includes like four categories and so on. So in this way, Prabhupada is saying, the spiritual master, understanding the nature of a particular disciple, instructs him for a particular service, and that is his favor. That is his favor. Because by carrying out that instruction, he will actually achieve all perfection. Right? As I said, there is a special blessing in carrying out the instruction of a saintly person. On his own doing, he will not achieve that perfection. As carrying out the instruction, carrying out that particular seva under the instruction of a spiritual master. Right? Again, Prabhupada says, the last three lines of the purport, one should be very careful to receive the message from the spiritual master through the ears and execute it faithfully. That will make one's life successful. Right? So wide open ear means one should be very careful to receive the instruction of the spiritual master, even for a particular service, that will make one's life successful. So another thing is, in the beginning, whatever service is allocated, right? You will be asked to serve in a particular department, suppose. Not spiritual master may not directly say, you know, he should be allocated this department, but the temple management may allocate the department. So that also one should understand that this is also, in one sense, a service allocated by my spiritual master only. So if the representative is allocating, you know, a person who is engaged in service of spiritual master directly, whom spiritual master has confidence on, he is allocating a service, also will receive the same, carrying out that service under the instruction of some representative, also receive the same benefit as given by spiritual master. As Prabhupada says, that is the parampara system. Right? So therefore one should consider that to also be awarded by one's spiritual master. Okay, so now in the second section. So in this way he glorifies Swambhu Manu, glorifies the association of Kardamuni, and then now he offers his daughter to Kardamuni. Yes.
In this purport, we see that a specific emphasis on ears has been given, that instruction comes through ear only.
Yeah.
And it should be spiritual masters instructed publicly, not privately. So in the current days, we see that instruction may come from email or any other way, which may not exactly involve ear. And most of the time we see that instructions are normally private, given publicly.
No, basically you don't have to. Ear means one should hear. You know, even if it comes through email, you are hearing the instruction. Reading the instruction means hearing the instruction. Ear is involved in that sense. Ear means to you know, when you are reading also, you know, so you are doing shravan only in one sense. You know, by the subtle sense, when you are reading, you are hearing this message of Prabhupada. The subtle sense of hearing is going on. So don't get that confused in the technicality of this thing. The instruction means to hear the instruction. Reading instruction is also hearing the instruction. Right? And publicly Prabhupada is saying that it's not, he instructs through the ears, not privately but publicly. Making a point that the instruction which a spiritual master gives in general, right, through his words in general, that how a disciple should behave, etc., they should not be considered any less important than if we may privately, or most of the people will receive a instruction publicly. Means publicly will also mean that in a common forum, and also it will be known to all that this person has been awarded this, given this service publicly. Right? It's not that something a very guhya confidential service. At night he will go and serve in some kunjas, you know, etc. You know, it will be publicly known that he is supposed to manage this particular service. That is one meaning of publicly, right? It will be publicly known. It's not something to be kept hidden, some secret mantra like you know, that he, what instruction, no one knows, has been given very secret instruction, you know, etc. Or who pays $1,000, he's given more secret instruction, etc. Like Prabhupada, which used to criticize. Not like that. It's publicly known, this person has been given this particular service. Right? Prabhupada would call and say, you take charge of this temple. Publicly known to everyone. Even when he writes a letter, the letter would be also public. Public, you know, the whole public would see that letter. What instruction has been given. As such, even the person who writes, he will also spread it out. You know, it would be typed by somebody, then posted by somebody, read by everyone. So that way, it's not any as such known to everyone that this person has given this service. That is the meaning of public. Okay, so we go to text 8. Sabhavan duhitra sneha Pariklishtatmano mama Shrotum arhasi dinasya Shravitam kripaya mune.
O great, graciously be pleased to listen to the prayers of my humble self, for my mind is troubled by affection for my daughter.
Yeah, so one minute, we'll just complete this section in next 10 minutes. So now this second section where he offers his daughter to Kardamuni, right? So he says, he's saying that by seeing you, Swambhumani is saying that all my suffering has gone away, but there is one suffering which is remaining in my heart. Having been given relief by your mercy, I will remove that suffering also along with the others. Right? There is one suffering which doesn't go away just by the power of discrimination or just, you know, by hearing your instruction. That is the suffering which you have, which your daughter has to be married. Right? She said one suffering has not gone away. You know, all of the suffering by instruction has gone away. But there is another one small suffering is remaining, which my daughter is to be married. Right? So that's how he puts it. Right? So then Prabhupada says in the, read the first four lines of the purport.
When a disciple is perfectly in consensus with the spiritual master, having received his message and executed it perfectly and sincerely, he has a right to ask a particular favor from spiritual master.
Okay, so he's saying, Prabhupada saying, if a submissive disciple may also ask some particular favor. Now he's asking a particular favor. Like he accepts all the instruction and makes a resolve to carry out. Right? So in this way he pleases, and then now he asks a particular favor. Prabhupada says one cannot ask the favor without satisfying him. And in general, Prabhupada is making the whole conversation into a spiritual master and disciple relationship, a saintly person and a common person who approaches him. Text 9. Priyavratottanupado Susayam duhita mama Anvichati patim yuktam Vayashila gudadibhi.
My daughter is the sister of Priyavarta and Uttanapad. She is seeking a suitable husband in terms of age, character, and good qualities.
Okay, so now you will see that most of the purports Prabhupada gives are in the context of cultural context of, you know, what all should be taken care of while marriage transaction. Right? So all the purports are in that context now. So then Prabhupada points out in the third line, the purpose of Manu's introducing his daughter as the sister of Priyavad and Uttanapad to great kings was to convince the sage that the girl came from a great family. Right? So he's pointing out the family lineage of the girl. Right? And she is searching for a good husband. She means I am searching on her behalf in that sense. In terms of age, character, and good qualities, right? So three consideration in a marriage, you know, the age should be, there may not be two difference between the age, like sometimes 50-year-old people marry 25-year-old girl, sometimes, you know, very rich, etc. That's not a proper, you know, marriage as such. So vayashila gunadi bhi. In a marriage, these three things has to be seen. They have suitable age, character, and good qualities. Okay, we go to text 10. Yada tu bhavata shila shutarupa vayo gunan ashino naradadesha toyasit krita nishaya.
The moment she heard from the sage Narada of your noble character, learning, beautiful appearance, youth, and other virtues, she fixed her mind upon you.
Right. So she heard from Narada Muni, or Narada Muni specifically went and spoke. Right. Narada Muni knew that they both will be getting married and Lord will appear as Kapil Dev. So knowing that, so Narada Muni in advance starts making facilitates, you know, Narada Muni facilitates the advent of the Lord, right? In advance, he goes and he talks to Devahuti about Kardama Muni, right? And he goes to Kardama Muni and talks about Devahuti also, kind of, because Kardama Muni later will quote, you know, he also knew about Devahuti. Kardama Muni also knew about Devahuti, the princess, beforehand. And Devahuti knew about Kardama Muni, so like that, right? So Narada communication services. So, like that. So, Prabhupada just points out that hearing from the authority is a better experience than gaining personal understanding. Right? The fifth line of the purport. Hearing from an authority. So, Narada Muni is authority. So, that is a better experience. Text 11. Tat praticha dujagre maam Vijagrem Shaddeo Parahitam Maya Sarvatma Nurupam Te Grahmedhi Shukarmasu.
Therefore, please accept her, O chief of Brahmanas, for I offer her with faith, and she is in every respect fit to be your wife and take charge of your household duties.
Okay. So Swambhu Muni is pointing out Sarva Atmana Anurupam Te. In every way she is suitable for you. Sarva Atmana Anurupam Te. Graha Medhi Shukarmashu. She will assist you and take charge of all your household duties. Graham Edishu Karmashu. And Prabhupada talks that about there are two words in the Sanskrit literature. If you see in the middle, one is Grastha and another is Grahamedi. Right? What differentiates the two is the performance of spiritual duties. A person is concerned only with sense enjoyment is a Grahamedi. One who performs duties for spiritual enlightenment is a Grastha. One will say, but why is Swami Munu saying that she will be assisting you in your Grahamedi dharma? So, if you see in Bhagavatam, you will find that usually every householder is referred to by a word Grahamedi. Most of the time, Grastha word is very less used. So, but the point is Grahamedishu Karmashu. Right? So, it's a general term. Any householder, because household life in general involves sense gratification. So therefore, all householders throughout the Bhagavatam, you will see is referred to as Grahamedi. But when Grahamedi, Grahamedishu Karmashu, when Grahamedi, if you see the last line, Grahamedishu Karmashu, when Grahamedi perform the duties, right? When householders perform the duties for spiritual enlightenment, then they become Grahasthas. You're getting the point. So the term Grahamedishu Karmashu, combined, it shows that they will be proper Grastha Ashram. So don't be confused by the term. In general, any householder, Bhagavatam will call them a Grahamedi. You will see also great kings also and etc. Right? Because usually there is some attachment. Right? Attached householder is called a Grahamedi. So even a Grastha has some family attachment. But when he is performing spiritual duties, then he is not seen in terms of those family attachment. He is seen in terms of spiritual duties. Then he is seen as a Grahastha. Right? Sarva Atmana Anurupam Te. She will be suitable to you in every way. Right? So one of the important ways that a wife has to be suitable is, Prabhupada points out in the last three line, is the duty of the wife to take charge of household affairs and not to compete with the husband. Right? So one of the thing is which Sanat Kumar Prabhu was pointing out when he gave a class on this, you know, Kardam Muni episode and Devhuti, he was pointing out how by, you know, women, because she, most of the women do job nowadays, right? So they also earn money. Husband is also earning money. So there is a competition between the two also often. You know, in one sense, there is a competition. Sometimes they may be in the same organization, right? And they both may be considered one post, but who should be promoted, you know? This may happen actually, right? This may happen. It's like my brother-in-law and my sister applied for one same post. They both went for the interview. You know, I just recently my sister told, you know, they both are like doctors, you know, PhD. So there was one post in some institute, some senior post. And they both applied and they both went for an interview. I said, you should not compete, you know, with your own husband, you know. Both are kind of competing with each other. This happens, you know, in modern lifestyle. So that is not very suitable as such. You know, a wife becoming financially independent and competing with the husband on various fronts, right, etc. That is not a very conducive for their long-term relationship, right? So the Vedic system arranges their relationship in such a way that it's conducive in the long run, right? So therefore, all the relationship, most of the relationship, they break down nowadays, right? In bitterness or whatever, you know, etc. So there are many social considerations. Prabhupada points out some of them, right? We will not go into too much detail of it as such.
उद्यतस्या हि कामस्या प्रतिवादो न शश्यते अपि निर्मुक्त संगस्य कामरक्तस्य किं पुना. To deny an offering that has come of itself is not commendable even for one absolutely free from all attachments, much less one addicted to sensual pleasure.
Okay, so the commendable means appreciable. So the point Swambhuvanu makes is, if someone is giving you something on your own, you know, some offering comes on your own, which will be of useful. You may not be, person may be unattached, but which may be useful for his duties, he should not deny it. Right? It's not commendable, means not appreciable that he denies it. Even attached. What to speak of those who are attached? For them it is not at all commendable. It's not appreciable for those who are unattached. Then what to speak of those who have some attachments? Right? If they deny, they will be simply then lamenting only. Right? Just give you an example, you know, so you go to some grihastha's house for honoring prasad, and he says, you know, please take second gulab jamun. And you know, you may be unattached, you know, but if you feel, you know, okay, I may have it or something. But if you really want to have it and you deny it, later you will only lament. So some woman is saying it's not, right? You wanted to have, but you deny it, you know, kind of whatever, for whatever reason. Said if you want to have it, you have attachment to eat gulab jamun, and someone is offering you on their own second serve, please take second serve. So it's not a good point to deny, have it. Right? Otherwise you will be lamenting later, kind of. So that point is made by Swambhu Manu. Text 13. Yaudyatam anadritya kinasham abhiyachate shiyate tadyashasvitam manaschavagyahata.
One who rejects an offering that comes of its own accord but later beg a boon from a miser, thus loses his widespread reputation, and his pride is humbled by the neglectful behavior of others.
Right, so later he may have to beg also. Right, so if he rejects first and then later, you know, after some time he realizes I wanted to have it, so he may have to ask again or something, that reduces his honor and pride, Swambhu Manu is saying. Right? Later you may be forced by the desire of a senses to ask that same thing, you know. After the go and keep back, at the end you may say, I want to have one gulab jamun more. So that brings down honor and pride of a person, you know. You were offered, you didn't accept that time, right? So like that, so he's pointing out some, you know, social, in a society, how a person can behave well, kind of, you know. Right? So, read the first six lines of Prabhupada Purport.
The general procedure of Vedic marriage is that a father offers his daughter to a suitable boy. That is very respectable marriage. A boy should not go to the girl's father and ask for the hand of his daughter in marriage. That is considered to be humbling one's respectable position. Swambhu Manu wanted to convince Kardama Muni, since he knew that the sage wanted to marry a suitable girl. I am offering just such a suitable wife. Do not reject the offer, or else, okay, because you are in a need of a wife, you will have to ask for such wife from someone else who may not behave with you well. In that case, your position will be humbled.
Right, so getting the point, he said, I know that you want to get married, I am bringing a daughter. So out of pride, if someone refuses and then he goes searching out for a suitable wife and other may reject him, he'll be unnecessary, you know, it will be very, it's a very humbling experience. And his pride or his honor will be reduced. You're getting the point he's making over here. So therefore, you have a need of a wife, I understand, and I brought a suitable wife. So there is no point in rejecting for any intelligent person, right? On its own, you know, it's a matter of great pride, you know, of honor, you know, you have been given this opportunity, right? Similarly, you know, we can one point we can learn is that if some senior person, some senior authority comes and, you know, asks us to take a particular responsibility, a particular service, right? So we all have to do some service. We all need some engagement. So if some particular person comes, you know, that we want to offer you this particular service, right, which is very important service to be handled, then one should not out of pride just reject the service, because we all need to be engaged. right? So therefore, one should be intelligent, and an important service coming on in their own, someone is offering them important service. So with due consideration, you know, one should not just reject out of pride. That's the point. Right? So there may be many consideration. We'll just recite this chapter, text 14 also. Then we'll take a break. During break, you can ask if there is any question. Aham tvashinavam vidvan vivartham samudyatam atastvam upakurvana prattam pratigrahaname.
Swayambhu Manu continued, O wise man, I heard that you were prepared to marry. Please accept her hand, which is being offered to you by me, since you have not taken a vow of perpetual celibacy.
Okay, so he says that, so Prabhupada points out there are two kind of brahmacharis. One is nashtiki, and one another word is upakurvan. The upakurvan word is in third line. Atastvam upakurvan. So upakurvan brahmachari means who is a brahmachari till a certain age before he enters grahastha ashram. Right? That is known as technically upakurvan. So he's saying, you have not taken vow of to be nashtiki brahmachari. You are upakurvan brahmachari, and now you desire to get married. Therefore, please accept her hand. So she is going to be a suitable wife for you. Okay, so that's end of the second chapter where some women submit this proposal. And third section will continue from verse 15 onwards. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text 15. Rishir Uvacha Badam Udvodukamoham Apratachatavatmaja Avayoranu Ruposav Adyo Vaivahiko Vidhi.
The great sage replied, certainly I have desire to marry, and your daughter has not yet married or given her word to anyone. Therefore, our marriage according to Vedic system can take place.
Okay, so now Kardamuni speaks. This section, third section, verse 15 to 20. Here Kardamuni accepts the offer and puts one condition. So one point he says over here is that your daughter is still not married or has not been even given by word to someone. Right? Prabhupada elaborates how can a father give the daughter even by words to someone. Right? In the chapter, in the Adi Leela, where story of Sakshi Gopal, where the elder Brahmana, he gives his daughter by words to the younger Brahmana. Prabhupada explains that the daughter is considered primarily the property of the father. And kanya dan, you know, the word kanya dan is used, the charity. He can offer his daughter in charity even by the words. Right? So therefore, he's saying, you have not offered your daughter even by words to someone. Therefore, I accept her. Right? Therefore, this marriage is feasible. Marriage can take place. So Prabhupada says, most important is that, if you see the second line, most important is that Devahuti had first of all fixed her mind on marrying him. She did not choose to have any other man as her husband. That is a great consideration, because female psychology dictates that when a woman offers her heart to a man for the first time, it is very difficult for her to take it back. Right? So if the woman has not become attached to anyone, and she first time becomes attached to one person, and then she gets married to that man, that marriage has a much more chances of survival. But if she becomes attached to some other man before her marriage, it's very difficult for her to take her heart out, female psychology, and get, you know, get emotionally or affectionately connected with another person, right? So that first emotional connection is the strongest emotional connection for a lady. That is being pointed out. And then Prabhupada points out that there are other eight kind of marriages, but the first class marriage is where the father of a daughter offers her to the suitable husband. Right? And there may be other kind of marriages, Prabhupada says, by kidnapping or by exchange of garland, etc. But that are now forbidden in Kali Yuga. That is the next verse Prabhupada talks of. There are certain kind of marriages are forbidden in Kali Yuga. This is the best, Prabhupada again and again glorify this way of marriage. Right? Kama Subhuyan Naradeva Tesya Putriya Samanaya Vidu Pratita Kaivate Tanyamanadriyeta Svevakantya Shripatim Ivashriyam. Shripatim Ivashriyam.
Let your daughter's desire for marriage, which is recognized in Vedic scriptures, be fulfilled. Who would not accept her hand? She is so beautiful that her bodily lustre alone, she excels the beauty of her ornaments.
Okay, so now, Karda Muni also expresses his attachment for Devahuti. Right? So he also knows very clear, he also knows that she is very beautiful by her bodily lustre, right? That she excels the ornament of the beauties all. She excels the beauty of the ornaments also, like that. And so in this purport, Prabhupada talks about, in the middle of the purport, there are eight kinds of marriages mentioned in the scriptures, in the scripture Manusmriti. But only one process of marriage, Brahma or Rajasic marriage, is now current. Other kind of marriage by love, by exchange of garland or by kidnapping the bride are now forbidden in Kali Yuga. 17. Yam harme prishte kunadangri shobham vikriditam kanduk vihvalakshim vishvasurnyapatat svadavimanad vilokya sammoha vimudacheta.
I have heard that Vishvavasu, the great Gandharva, his mind stupefied with infatuation, fell from his airplane after seeing your daughter playing with a ball on the roof of the palace. For she was indeed beautiful with her tinkling ankle bells and her eyes moving to and fro.
So Karda Muni had heard this incident. At once Vishvavasu, one of the very prominent Gandharva, he was flying in the airplane, he saw the beauty of Devahuti and fell down from the airplane. He was kind of, you know, and right. So here the beauty of Devahuti, Karda Muni is glorifying. He is going to be wife, you know. He's not glorifying the fall down of Vishvavasu, but the beauty of Devahuti. She was so beautiful that he was, you know, so mesmerized. And Vishwanath Thakur also says, he points out. Okay, first we'll read Prabhupada. So Prabhupada says that, you know, Vishvavasu was flying from airplane. This palace must be quite high, you know, for him to see the beauty, you know, first of all. So Prabhupada says the skyscrapers or big palaces very high existed in those days also. That is the first point Prabhupada makes, right? And then Vishnu Thakur gives a good insight. He says, because Vishwavasu looked at Devahuti with attachment. So his heart became attracted. There's this with the desire to enjoy. Right? So because of that offense, he fell down from the airplane. It's not that, you know, sometimes you think, oh, he became like kind of became unconscious by seeing the beauty or something. It was his offense, you know, when he desired to enjoy this, you know, Devahuti. Because of that enjoying spirit, he didn't deserve to be, you know, he fell down from that position. That offense made him fall down. You got the point? So that means he didn't, so therefore later, it's not mentioned later what he regained his position, how, etc. Repented, lamenting, or remembered the Lord, whatever. Right? But because of offense of looking at Devahuti with the desire, with attachment, with the desire to enjoy, Vishwavasu fell from his high position. Right? So that's a important point. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also in Chaitanya Charitamrita cautions that a person who is trying to cultivate Krishna consciousness in the renounced spirit, right? He should be very cautious not to glance at the form of a woman. Right? One should try to avoid glancing, especially glancing with the attachment. Right? Amita sannyasi ami virakta kari mani. Lord says, I am a sannyasi. Prakirti darshane dura rahu namayadi shuni. Tabuhu vikar pae muratanu man. Prakirti darshane sthira rahi kauna jan. So Lord says, I am a sannyasi, I am a very virakt. Right? Apanare virakta kari mani. What to tell of seeing the form of woman, when heard about the name of the woman, at that time there is a transformation in my body and my mind, Lord says. Tabuhu vikar pai moratanu man. Even when I heard the name of woman, there is a transformation in the mind and body. Prakriti darshan sthir rahe kaun jan. The Lord is saying, who is there, a person within this, you know, in this world created by Lord Brahma, who can remain steady without any transformation by seeing the beautiful form of woman? Right? So it's Lord's own words. Right? So therefore, the point is one has to be very cautious about looking at women or going to the places where there are many women are there. Right? Just sharing one small thing with you. It's not that everyone has to do that, you know. It's like different people may adopt different way of, you know, avoiding even, you know, when there is no service, one should even avoid looking at the women, right? What to speak, no, without attachment, with attachment, not like that. One, when there is no service, one should even avoid. So I'm just sharing one small personal detail with you all, that especially on, you know, Sunday evenings, in the temple hall would be filled with so many, you know, ladies from South Bombay and all that, right? So usually I would sometimes go to chant Gayatri in the temple hall, right? But on Sunday evening I would specifically avoid. I'll chant in the Brahmachari ashram only, right? So other days there will not be many people in the temple hall, sit before the Lord and chant, you know. But temple hall evening will be filled with ladies, and they would not be, you know, dressed very properly also, South Bombay and all that. Right? So therefore, to avoid unnecessary distraction, right? So I thought it's better if I chant in the, that is my, you know, small one paisa, you know, that Mahaprabhu is saying, you know, prakriti darshane sthir hai kaun jan. It's difficult to remain steady on seeing a woman, right? Even when you're in the temple hall, right? Before the Lord. So there is no particular as such, you know. Better avoid going to a place or something, you know, one can avoid even glancing, that is even better for a person who is trying to renounce. So in this way, the point is, when one associates with women for some particular service, then the Lord's protection is there. But as soon as one goes out of the boundary of service, right, which is very difficult to maintain the strict boundary, one may just step out of the boundary, then that protection is gone. Then one may become attached. Right? So therefore, one should be extremely cautious in this regard, because that is like one of the very stumbling blocks. Right? Vishwavasu fell down from his high airplane, from his high position, kind of Gandharva position, because of just looking at Devahuti with attachment. Position means at the Gandharva plane, temporarily there was a fall down. You know, that means by his powers he was flying in airplane because he had that piety, Gandharva piety. When he looked at Devahuti with attachment, he fell down. That means he could no longer hold that position of a Gandharva and fly the airplane. You getting the point? So that's how it we understand this fall down also. Not that it was a chakkar khake gir gaya. You know, that can also be understood in one sense. But the main thing is, he fell down because he lost that piety to continue riding on that Gandharva airplane because of the offense. Someone says that he was leaning, you know, and leaning a little bit. He fell down because of leaning, you know. Anyway, but the main thing is the offense of looking down, looking with attachment. Other things can create a dramatic effect, you know. Sometimes the speaker adds his own dramatic angle to it, you know. That's another thing. So now Karna Muni in a series of verses, he glorifies and he also expresses his attachment for Devahuti very clearly. Tam prarthayantim lalana lalamam asevita shri charanair drishtam vatsam manor uchyapada sasaram konanumannet budho bhiyatam.
What wise man would not welcome her, the very ornament of womanhood, the beloved daughter of Swayambhu Manu and sister of Uttanapad? Those who have not worshipped the gracious feet of the goddess of fortune cannot even perceive her, yet she has come to her own accord to seek my hand.
Right. So again, it shows very clearly that, you know, his attachment for Devahuti. That what wise man would not welcome her? Right? The very ornament of womanhood, the beloved daughter of Swayambhu Manu and the sister of Uttanapad. Right? And Vishnu Thakur says, why does he only say sister of Uttanapad and not Priyavrat? Vatsa Manor Uchapada Sosaram. Sosaram means sister of Uttanapad. She is sister of Priyavrat also, but Priyavrat had gone to perform austerities. So therefore Priyavrat is not mentioned. Ghar pe nahi ho. He's not at home at that point of time. Right? So therefore he mentioned only Priyavrat. Right? So yes, so he said those who have not worshipped the God of full feet, gracious feet of God of fortune cannot even perceive her, cannot even see her. Right? But yet she has come on his own accord. So what unintelligent man would reject her? Right? So that's what he points it out. Go ahead, read the translation.
Therefore, I shall accept this chaste girl as my wife on the condition that after she bears semen from my body, I shall accept the life of devotional service accepted by the most perfect human beings. That process was described by Lord Vishnu. It is free from envy.
Okay, so what is that process? I will take up the process adopted by Paramhamsas. Right? I will completely renounce and exclusively dedicate myself to rendering devotional service. Right? So the word paramhamsa is used. Ato dharman paramhamsa mukhyan. This the Bhagavad Dharma, you know, in the renounced order of life, executing that which is given by the Lord Himself, right, which is prescribed, is mentioned. That I will rob that dharma after she bears children, right? So Prabhupada says, Kardamuni was in the hermitage practicing complete celibacy as a brahmachari, and although he had the desire to marry, he did not want to be a householder for the whole span of his life. It's not that he just wanted to be a householder throughout. He immediately, he expresses that, I will, after the children are grown up and can take care, right, I will renounce. So Prabhupada talks of two kinds of children. The next paragraph. Prabhupada says there are two kinds of children born of good fathers. One is educated in Krishna consciousness so that he can be delivered from the clutches of Maya in that very life. And the other is the ray of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and teaches the world the ultimate goal of life. Right? So Prabhupada says there's two kinds of children. And Kardamuni will attain second kind of child. The ray of Vishnu. One could be a child who is trained, right, in Krishna consciousness and he delivers himself. Others is who will deliver others. Right? And then Prabhupada in the last paragraph talks about this Paramhamsa stage. After fulfilling his responsibility to produce a nice child, one should take sannyas and engage in the perfectional Paramhamsa stage. Prabhupada says, what is this stage? This stage is characterized by complete absence of envy, which is indicated by the last words, manne vihim saran, right? This is the last word of the text. So Prabhupada says, even in other stages, if we look at, this is the seventh line of the purport, last paragraph, in other stages, even in householder stage of life, there is competition of envy, right, which one cannot fully avoid, competition of envy, the household style. But in the Paramhamsa stage, one should become completely free from this mentality of competition and envy. Right? So that one should aspire for that stage. And Prabhupada then says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also wanted to beget a child, right, who could preach the philosophy of teaching of Krishna consciousness. He also got ray of Vishnu, as we understand. Text 20, read the translation.
The highest authority for me is the ultimate Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom this wonderful creation emanates and in whom its sustenance and dissolution rest. He is the origin of all Prajapatis and personality meant to produce living entity in this world.
Okay, so now once you read in between the lines, Vishwanatha Thakur points out, but Swambhu Manu says, you know, he says, but your father, Brahmaji, he has ordered you for procreation, not renunciation. You know, you're talking of renunciation, marriage has also not taken place, right? So therefore, Kardamuni says, but the father of my father is my final authority. The Supreme Lord is the final authority, right? Ultimately, I have to satisfy him by executing this dharma of this Bhagavad Dharma in the renounced order. Right? Bhagavad Dharma can be executed in any order, but Bhagavad Dharma in the renounced order is the Paramhamsa stage. Right? So therefore he says, he is my Param Pramanam, Bhagavan Ananta. Finally, the father of my father is the Param Praman. Right? So it's also important thing over here in, although he wanted to carry out Lord Brahma's instruction but he finally aims at satisfying Lord Vishnu. And so one should understand, one may be given a particular service, right, by authority, but ultimately one should not forget that ultimate goal is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. Right? Ultimate goal is to satisfy Lord Vishnu. So therefore, check and balance is there. Right? So Lord Brahma is mainly his administrative authority. And he wants, for his concern is the world should be filled with population. But Karada Muni said, I will carry out instruction with the ultimate aim of satisfying Lord Vishnu. That I will not forget. Right? So the point is, which Prabhupada points out over here in, Prabhupada says, in the last 4 or 5 lines of the first paragraph, whatever Vishnu desired was his duty and nothing else. He was not prepared to beget a number of children. He would beget only one child who would help the mission of Vishnu. Right? That is Kapila. Of course, the 9 daughters will also be there. But here the son is being indicated. Because that he will help in the mission of Lord Vishnu. Right? So again, Prabhupada says, the last 3-4 lines of the next paragraph, Kardamuni preferred to devote his life as a servant of the Lord in Paramhamsa knowledge and to beget a child only for that purpose, not to beget numberless children to fill up the vacancies in the universe. You know, so Lord Brahma is the administrator, his concern is, you know, the universe should be populated. But he's saying, Prabhupada saying, he's not ready to just fill up the vacancies. He will produce a nice child for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, who will carry out the mission. Right? So, although even though a person may be ordained by higher authority, it is our duty, you know, here authority is the administrative authority in one sense. You don't confuse with the spiritual master. So first you say, satisfy the spiritual master, then you say, but see that Lord Vishnu is pleased. Right? So here some administrative service is allocated by Lord Brahma. So even though he is ordained by higher authority, it is still one's duty to carry out service in the mode of goodness and not passionately. He doesn't want to passionately, you know, Brahma just said, start filling up the universe and start producing numberless children. Right? Ultimately, one has to see that Lord Vishnu should also be pleased. The goal of the human form of life should also be properly carried out. Right? Yes.
If they are following the instruction of Brahma to procreate and fill the universe.
Daksha did that. Daksha is simply passionately carrying out the instruction just to fill up the vacancies of the universe. Right? He lost the ultimate purpose, as will be revealed in the next canto. Right? So the two contrasts becomes clear that way.
And Prabhuji, one point is, like Prabhupada mentioning, after fulfilling his responsibility to produce a nice child, one should take sannyas and engage in professional paramahansa stage. So that means as soon as we produce grastha person produce a child.
No, the child has to be, that is pointed out, the child has to take care of the mother. He has to be grown up. That Prabhupada gives the next series of purport. The mother is now, Prabhupada says, the father was protecting, then the husband is protecting, then he can leave up to the child, grown up child. He continues to protect the, you know, his wife, and then he can then leave. Right. Okay, so then fourth section, where Swambhi Manu, he marries his daughter and then he returns. Read the translations.
Sri Maitreya said, O great warrior Vidura, the sage Kardama said this much only and then became silent. Thinking of his worshipable Lord Vishnu, who has a lotus on his navel, as he silently smiled, his face captured the mind of Devahuti, who began to meditate upon the great sage.
Okay, so regarding addressing, now Maitreya addresses Vidura as a great warrior, Ugra Dhanvan. So Vishnu Thakur beautifully points out, Maitreya Muni wants to say, just as you do not turn away from battle, you are a fierce fighter, Kardam, he did not turn from his dharma, which was recommended by the Lord. He did not turn. That means, always getting married, he did not give up his dharma of a renunciant. He already put the condition. So that condition is being appreciated. The condition of Karada Muni is appreciated by Maitreya Muni by calling Vidura as, oh, great warrior. Here is another warrior. Right? He also didn't turn away from his dharma of being a renounced, carrying out bhakti, bhaga dharma in the renounced order. So he will quickly fulfill his grastha ashram dharma and take up to that dharma again. So he did not, he remains fixed in the householder life. He pre-decided that I will renounce and completely take shelter of Supreme Lord. And also Prabhupada glorify the smile of Krishna conscious person. Prabhupada says, the smile of such a Krishna conscious person is so attractive that simply by smiling he wins so many admirers, disciples and followers. Right? Manasparsha smitikshanam, right? The Lord also has the same quality. The smile touches the hearts of other people. We read yesterday, 321.10. Manasparsha smitikshanam. Yes, go ahead.
After having unmistakably known the decision of the queen as well as that of Devahuti, the emperor most gladly gave his daughter to the sage, whose host of virtues was equaled by hers.
Equaled, yeah.
Equaled by.
Go ahead.
Empress Satrupa lovingly gave most valuable presents suitable for the occasion, such as jewelry, clothes, and household articles in dowry to the bride and bridegroom.
Okay, so now Shatrupa, she gave many valuable presents. And Prabhupada glorifies the dowry system. Right? So important point is this dowry system was a voluntary practice. It was a voluntary practice. Out of love, father would give out dowry to the bride. Right? So it was a very glorious practice. When certain practices, they are done voluntarily out of love, they are very glorious. But when the same practices are enforced, then they become obnoxious. Something which is very glorious becomes obnoxious. So there is something to be done voluntarily out of love. Other thing is enforced. So when it was enforced, it became obnoxious. Right? So we should understand that. So therefore, Prabhupada glorifies dowry system or even sati system when it is done voluntarily out of love. Then it is glorious, not when it is enforced. Okay, so but Prabhupada gives another understanding, like that is one understanding. See another beautiful understanding. Prabhupada says, read the last 6-7 lines of the purport. The dowry is a gift.
The dowry is a gift given to the daughter by the father to show goodwill, and it is compulsory.
Prabhupada says it is compulsory. This dowry is compulsory now. Okay, go ahead.
In rare cases where the father is completely unable to give dowry, it is enjoined that he must at least give a fruit and a flower. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, God can also be pleased even by a fruit and a flower. When there is financial inability and no question of accumulating a dowry by another means, one can give a fruit and a flower for the satisfaction of the bridegroom.
Okay, so this is something very... The system is very beautiful. So all these Vedic practices, there is simultaneously rigidity and flexibility. Prabhupada said this dowry system is compulsory. Father must give out of love. But if he doesn't have, he must give then some fruit and flower out of love. It's not that he has to give huge quantity like a king. He must give dowry, right? Out of love, but as per the best of his capacity. So therefore, it is compulsory to give. If he had the capacity, he must give good amount of presents. Then has the capacity, he give a fruit and flower. So the point is, if you see all these Vedic practices, there is rigidity and flexibility simultaneously. Right? There is a rigidity in the Vedic practices. But there is a flexibility also. So what happens when only rigidity is emphasized? Right? So this is very important. Actually, in all, in even every institution, in every practice, there has to be simultaneously rigidity and flexibility. Like when you say conservatives and liberals, right? You have seen the classical conflict between conservatives and liberals. Every institution, if you say Christians, there are also conservatives and liberals. In her ISKCON also, there are conservative group, there are liberal group, right? So there is always a classical conflict between conservative, who want to be very rigid about system. Liberal says be flexible, you know. Conservative says be very rigid. But a good system has a simultaneously rigidity and flexibility. Like Prabhupada very beautifully says, in just these few lines, dowry is compulsory. Father must give dowry. Doesn't have, let him give fruit and flower. Simultaneously there is flexibility. Right? So, therefore, if Therefore, actually, one has to understand, actually a leader should also similarly be both rigid and flexible, simultaneously. It has these two opposite qualities has to exist simultaneously in a good leader. According to the situation, has to be rigid, and according to the situation, has to be flexible also. Right? So if there is only rigidity, right, then what happens? Only the rigidity, then people gradually, the only rigidity is demotivating. The motivation is lost. Only in the name of people are following. The encouragement is lost, basically. Right? So the system where there is too much rigidity, the motivation and encouragement is not there in the followers. Right? And if there is only flexibility, then what happens? Then the tradition is lost. In only flexibility, then all the spiritual practices, the spiritual which is important tradition to carry out, that itself is lost. Only flexibility. So therefore, in order to preserve the tradition, but keep the followers motivated to preserve the tradition, there has to be simultaneous rigidity and flexibility. A combination, a sensitive combination of the two. Right? Otherwise, you cannot have the tradition, a group of followers who will following the system with encouragement and motivation, right? Or to have a motivated followers of the tradition, you need both rigidity and flexibility, which is very beautifully indicated over here. Okay, go ahead, read.
Thus relieved of his responsibility by handing over his daughter to a suitable man, Swayambhuva Manu, his mind agitated by feeling of separation, embraced his affectionate daughter with both of his arms.
Okay, so Swayambhuva Manu, who was a very loving father, right? He was a great emperor, but he had great affection for his father. So now he was relieved of his responsibility, right? And Prabhupada says actually, you know, father has a tremendous anxiety. He's always in anxiety, and that anxiety he's relieved when he hands over his daughter to a suitable bridegroom. And therefore now he, out of his affection, he embraced his daughter and he actually cried also. Read.
The emperor was unable to bear the separation of his daughter. Therefore tears poured from his eyes again and again, drenching his daughter's head as he cried, "My dear mother, my dear daughter."
Right? So Prabhupada says he also used the word amba, asinchad amba vatseti. Vatsa means daughter, amba means mother. Prabhupada, the word amba is significant. A father sometimes addresses his daughter in affection as mother. And sometimes as my darling. Darling means my dear daughter. Right? Yes.
After asking and obtaining the great sage's permission to leave, the monarch mounted his chariot with his wife and started for his capital, followed by his retinue. Along the way, he saw the prosperity of the tranquil seas, beautiful hermitages on both the charming banks of Saraswati, the river so agreeable to saintly persons.
Okay, so while going back, now Swayambhuva Manu handed his daughter, he cried out in affection, and now while going back, he sees the charming hermitages which looked very beautiful on both sides of Saraswati river. Right? And Prabhupada says, read the first 3-4 lines.
As cities are constructed in the modern age with great engineering and architectural craftsmanship, so in days gone by there were neighborhoods called Rishikulas where great saintly person resided.
Okay, so there were Rishikulas, and Swayambhuva Manu, he appreciated the beauty of these Rishikulas, right? So they were not skyscrapers, but very, you know, it looked very serene and very spiritual atmosphere. Seeing the hermitage was satisfying to his heart. That's what he points out. Yes, go ahead.
Overjoyed to know of his arrival, his subjects came forth from Brahmavarta to greet their returning lord with songs, prayers, and musical instruments.
And Prabhupada compares that to Krishna returning to Dwarka. When a king returns, and the citizens, they come forth to greet him. Yes?
The city of Barishmati, rich in all kinds of wealth, was so called because Lord Vishnu's hair dropped there from his body when he manifested himself as Lord Boar. As he shook his body, this very hair fell, entered into blades of evergreen kusha grass and kasha, another kind of grass used for mats, by means of which the sages worship Lord Vishnu after defeating the demon who had interfered with the performance of their sacrifices.
Okay, so now with text 28, the last section of Sombhu Manu's description of his capital and his glorious rule. Right? So, within Brahmavarta, which is mentioned in the last verse, there's a city of Barhishmati. Right? Barhishmati, literal meaning of the word Barhishmati is pointed out in the next verse, Kusha Kashmayam Barhir, which is filled with Kusha and Kasha grass. So it said that Prabhupada says that the importance of this city is that the hair of Lord Varahadev fell in this city, and that became Kusha and Kasha grass. Right? So this city was filled with all opulence, especially it was blessed by the Lord remnant. You know, the Lord hair, Varahadev's hair fell in this city, Barhishmati. Okay, read.
Manu spread a seat of Kushas and Kashas and worshipped the Lord, the personality of Godhead, by whose grace he had obtained the rule of the terrestrial globe.
Okay, so now Manu's devotional service in this city, which was filled with all opulences, Manu would use this seat of Kusha mat, right, for Ayajad Yajna Purusham, in order to worship the Lord, by whose mercy Labdha Sthanam Yato Bhuvam. He had obtained such a position of emperor of the whole, you know, Bhumandal actually. So he used to worship the Lord, that is mentioned over here. Right? So Prabhupada mainly talks of that everyone, Prabhupada says, that everyone must recognize that whatever riches they have are gifts from the Supreme Personality of God. It's like 8th or 9th line. Whatever riches they have are the gifts of the Supreme Lord. Everyone must consider, everyone must acknowledge and recognize. Right? So this quality of gratitude is very important. Right? This quality of gratitude. So a saintly person means a grateful person. A grateful person means a joyful person. Actually, right? A saintly person should imply that he should be grateful. And if a person is actually grateful, he will always be joyful. Right? So therefore, this gratitude is a very important quality. Right? Prabhupada glorifies that quality in the purport. Again, if you see the 7th or 8th last line, someone can read, In the modern age,
the mission of Krishna consciousness is for everyone to acknowledge the supremacy of Lord Krishna. Whatever one has in his possession must be considered as a gift by the grace of Lord.
Right. So Prabhupada says, our mission is to make everyone realize that all your good fortune is due to Krishna. Become grateful. Right. If we can make people grateful to Krishna, is one of our mission. Right? That's how important it is to become grateful. Right. So, for a grateful person, devotional service is easily and joyfully performed, actually. Right? This quality is there. So it's a very important quality to be developed. It makes devotional service su sukham kartum avyam, easy and joyful. Lord Krishna says the nature of devotional service is that it is joyfully performed and it's easily performed. That is mainly for a person who cultivates gratitude. A grateful devotee can perform devotional service easily and joyfully. Okay, go ahead.
Having entered the city of Barhishmati, in which he had previously lived, Manu entered his palace, which was filled with an atmosphere that eradicated the three miseries of material existence.
Okay, so the king palace, right? Within the palace, he had such an atmosphere that it eradicated the three miseries of material existence. Read from fourth line, human society is meant to create.
A human society is meant to create a spiritual atmosphere by spreading the spirit of Krishna consciousness. The miseries of material existence cannot affect the status of Krishna consciousness. It is not that the miseries of the material world completely vanish when one takes to Krishna consciousness, but for one who is Krishna conscious, the miseries of material existence have no effect. We cannot stop the miseries of the material atmosphere, but the Krishna consciousness is the antiseptic method to protect us from being affected by the miseries of the material existence.
Okay, So basically, the it's an important point Prabhupada makes. By creating Krishna conscious atmosphere, right, we create a protective antiseptic environment around us. This material world will be a place of infection always, right? So one cannot one say, you know, I will change the face of the whole world, right? That is very difficult. You know, this material world infections you can't stop, or something. Someone may feel, if I will stop the waves in the ocean, like you are being tossed by the waves. Someone is working out at the solution of stopping the waves in the ocean, you know, because he is being tossed up and down. But you come out, you know, you rise above the waves. That is the easier solution. The solution recommended for you. No, you don't try to stop the waves in the ocean. You can't make this material world material infection free, right? But you can, Prabhupada says, you can have an antiseptic layer around you, that you don't be affected by the infection. Right? You can come out of the, you can rise above the waves and not be affected by the waves. That is possible. Right? So it's an important thing. Because the change the nature of this world, miseries will continue to exist. But by creating a atmosphere of Krishna consciousness, you can be in a situation where you are not affected. Right? That is the important solution. So just to give you one observation, the whole material world wants, all the scientists, all the learned people, they want to change the nature of material world. To give an example, see, there is a problem of mosquitoes, simple example. They want to have so many devices, liquids, this and that, to kill the mosquitoes. Devotees simply put a mosquito net. Right? Then they're not bothered by the mosquito. You create a protective layer around you and not be bothered by them. Other than trying to work out, spend millions of dollars to find out what smell mosquito doesn't like, what frequency doesn't, you know, comes nearby, you know, so devise so many things, you know, to kill the mosquitoes, to drive them away. But simple solution is to protect oneself, right? So that's an intelligent solution, actually. So the whole material world is working upon the mosquitoes. Devotees work solution on themselves. It's easy to work solution on oneself, then try to change the world, right? So it's an important lesson over here. Yes, what do you want to say? Neem katel, whatever you want to apply. Apply a solution on yourself, right? Apply a solution on yourself. That's easy than to, you know, change the whole world. Right? Text 33, yeah, read.
Emperor Swayambhuva Manu enjoyed life with his wife and subjects and fulfilled his desires without being disturbed by unwanted principles contrary to the process of religion. Celestial musicians and their wives sang in chorus about the pure reputation of the emperor, and early in the morning every day he used to listen to the pastimes of Supreme Personality of Godhead with a loving heart.
Okay, this is a beautiful verse. Let's recite the verse. Sabharya Saprajakaman Bhuje Nya Virodhata Sangiyamana Satkirti Shastri Bhi Suragayaka Pratya Usheshvanu Baddhena Hridashanvan Hare Kataha. Right, so basically, if you see Sangiyamana Satkirti, so there was such an atmosphere that every day morning the king used to hear Prati Usheshu Anubaddhena. Anubaddhena with attached, mind attached. Hrida Shrinvan Harir Katha. So he created such an atmosphere that along with all the other palace members, Sa Bharya, Sa Praja Kaman. So Prabhupada says, these royal palaces, they used to make a temple inside the palace, where all the palace members, ministers, even some of the citizens were allowed, some of the prominent citizens could also come inside the palace, and they could witness the Lord being worshipped in the morning, they could attend the Mangal Aarti, they could glorify the Lord, and they would also hear the glories of the Lord. As the king facilitated for everyone this atmosphere of Krishna consciousness, right? And that Prabhupada glorifies that, right? So Prabhupada says, like, they were getting up in the morning and there would be these musicians, and they would glorify the Lord, right? In the morning melody, they would sing on Prabhupada in Shehnais, and with the Shehnais, and they would sing some glories of the Lord, and they would get up hearing the glories of the Lord, and while sleeping also, this musician, they would recite various kind of song in a different raga, not the morning, the evening raga. Prabhupada said they would get very good sleep also by hearing that raga, and they would remember the Lord. So they would sleep with chanting of Hare Krishna, and they would get up and with the chanting of Hare Krishna. So therefore they would be always Krishna conscious. Right? So Prabhupada beautifully points out that aspect. If you see in the second paragraph, last 7-8 line, second paragraph, the atmosphere created by the Sankirtan movement lives in their hearts. And while sleeping, they also dream of the singing and glorification of the Lord. In such a way, perfection of Krishna consciousness can be attained. This practice is very old, as learned from this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam millions of years ago. Sambhu Manu used to avail himself of this opportunity to live householder life in the peace and prosperity of a Krishna conscious atmosphere. So this peace and prosperity of the palace was not at all binding because of this Krishna conscious atmosphere. Right? Nishnatam yoga mayasu munim svayambhavam manu yad ab Brahmashayutum bhoga Nashekur Bhagavat Param.
The Swayambhuva Manu was a saintly king. Although absorbed in material happiness, he was not dragged to the lowest grade of life, for he always enjoyed his material happiness in a Krishna conscious atmosphere.
Right? So the Swayambhu Manu has been called as a Muni. Munim Swayambhu Manu. Right? So Swayambhu Manu was like a Muni. It's like Kardam Muni was a Muni. So he's also, because of his Krishna consciousness, he's also considered as a Muni. Because of always hearing, chanting and glorifying the Lord. Ayatayamastasyasan Yamas Swantara Yapana Shinvato Dhyayato Vishnu Kurvato Bruvato Katha.
Consequently, although his duration of life gradually came to an end, his long life consisting of a Manvantar era was not spent in vain, since he ever engaged in hearing, contemplating, writing down and chanting the pastime of the Lord.
Right, so it's a very beautiful verse. The word yatayama refers to something lost in vain. The word here used is ayatayama astasyasan. His life of one divya yuga cycle is 43 lakh, right? 20,000 years. One yuga cycle, 43 lakh, 20,000 into 71, right? So approximately 30 crores, his life was 30 crore years. He said that passed, his life passed in while he was hearing, chanting and glorifying the Lord. And it didn't pass in vain. It was a very fruitful life. Right? So he said, just he was hearing, chanting and glorifying the Lord, 30 crore years passed. Right? It's a, like, looks like a very long span, but he said it's past. Right? So therefore, you know, if 30 crore can pass hearing, chanting, glorifying the Lord, right? So our life, you know, 30, 40 years remaining can very easily pass, you know. So we should get a hope, you know. It's not difficult to, you know, just pass 30, 40 years and remain absorbed in hearing, chanting and glorifying the Lord. Right? So that should be giving us some hope. So in passing, hearing, shanvato, dhyayato means remembering. Kurvato, Vishnu Thakur says, kurvato means he composing. Here is Prabhupada translates acting, but he says composing. Kurvato means he composed many dramas, poems, songs about what he would hear, he would also compose in his way. And bruvato, and speaking about Krishna. Right? Like that. And Prabhupada says, his long life... In this material world, gradually everything becomes stale and tasteless. But, I am reading from this fourth line, the life of Emperor Swayambhuva Manu, however, was not tasteless. As he grew older, his life remained as fresh as in the beginning because of his continued Krishna consciousness. The life of a man in Krishna consciousness is always fresh. It remains fresh and it is not wasted also. That is Prabhupada's in the last line. Therefore, his life was not wasted, nor did it become stale. Right? So like, full, he utilized his life fully and always, you know, fresh remained fresh. So that is pointed out. Okay, the last few verses. Saevam swantaram ninne युगानामेक सप्ततिम वासुदेव प्रसंगेन परिभूत गतित्रया.
He passed his time, which lasted 71 cycles of the four ages, 71 × 43,20,000 years, always thinking of Vasudev and always engaged in matters regarding Vasudev. Thus he transcended the three destinations.
Right, so three destinations could apply to the three destinations here, Prabhupada says, refers to, are meant for person under the control of three modes, right? Three modes, adho, gachanti, tamasa, the lower planets, middle planets, upper planets, they are for, those are in the three modes. But he transcended this his destination. Or he even transcended the three destination could also refers to the state of being awakened, dreaming and unconscious, deep sleep. You know, all the living entities are in these three states in this material world. He transcended them and had a completely Krishna conscious, blissful state. Right? He achieved existence beyond these three states, which are characterized by Jagruti, Susupti, and there are three terms for these three states. And Swapna, Jagruti, Susupti, and Swapna. Jagruti means awake, Susupti means fully asleep, and Swapna means in dreaming state. Like that. So Vasudeva Prasangena, right? Yugana Meka Saptatim. Again, such a huge time just passed in relation to Vasudeva Prasangena, right? Which we should also aspire for. 37. Shari Ramana Sadivya Vayaseye Chaman Manusha Bhautikascha katham klesha Badhante hari samshrayam.
Therefore, O Vidura, how can persons completely under the shelter of Lord Krishna in devotional service be put into miseries pertaining to the body, the mind, nature and other men and living creatures?
Right, so important word. Bhautikascha katham klesha Badhante hari samshrayam. So this bhautik klesha, how can they bind a person who has taken shelter of Supreme Lord? It doesn't say that it doesn't exist. Bhautik klesha exists, but it doesn't have any effect, binding effect. Right? It doesn't overwhelm a person. He remains absorbed in his Krishna consciousness. Right? So actually everyone has to practice that. Right? I'm just giving one small example which Gaurang Prabhu was sharing. We recently met His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj in Ujjain Kumbh Mela. Right? And Gaurang Prabhu described, he was saying, you know, Maharaj is a GBC and daily he has to hear so many, you know, of ISKCON problems, you know. We can't even imagine, you know, some financial scandal happened there, some sexual scandal happened over that, over there, and this scandal and that scandal, you know, so many scandalous reports, you know, GBC of such a huge area, you know. He said, but he still remains absorbed in his own Krishna consciousness, and, you know, hear that, do the needful and remain absorbed. You know, morning gets up, the worship of the deities, chant his holy names, you know, and he's remains above. Although he deals with, he remains above. Right? So it's very difficult, you know, it's a very challenge actually. One has to deal with the things of this material world, but remain absorbed in Krishna, Vasudeva Prasangena, right? And remain above it and not be too much affected by it. Although one has to deal with it, right? So that art gradually everyone has to learn in this world. It's not easy, it doesn't come so easy actually. It requires a lot of practice and a lot of mercy, you know, that one remains in one's absorption of Krishna consciousness. At the same time, you know, this world will be filled with all sorts of conflicts, scandals. One has to deal with it, right? So Gaurang Prabhu was pointing out, you know, Maharaj is above all this, you know. He remains his own absorption. Plus, he takes so many meetings, this, that, you know, and gives decisions. Right? So, bhautikascha katham klesha badante hari samsharayam. Right? So, therefore, bhautik kleshas, they will not be able to bind a person who has taken shelter of Krishna. Right? He is above all the bhautik kleshas. 38. Yaprishto muni bhipraha dharma nana vidhan shuban ninam varna ashrama namcha sarvabhuta hita sada.
In reply to questions asked by certain sages, Svayambhu Manu, out of compassion for all living entities, taught the diverse sacred duties of men in general and the various varnas and ashramas.
Right. So he gave many, in Manu Smriti, he gave, out of his compassion, he gave, listed various duties for men in general, for their varna and ashramas.
Etattadi rajasya manuscharitam adbhutam vanditam vannaniyasya tad apatyodayam shunu.
I have spoken to you of the wonderful character of Svayambhuva Manu, the original king, whose reputation is worthy of description. Please hear as I speak of the flourishing of his daughter Devahuti.
Okay, so Etatta Adi Rajasya, he is the original emperor, first emperor, Manuscharitam Adbhutam, his character is glorious, Vannitam Vannaniyasya. It is fit to be described. I have described you something which is worth describing. Right. Now here, tad apatya udayam shrinu. Now here, how the rise of the good fortune of his daughter, how she took shelter of the Lord. Tad apatya udayam, how she flourished. Now here the story of the flourishing fortune, good fortune of his daughter, right, which he begins describing in the next chapter 23rd. Jaya Grantara Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jaya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Srila Svambhu Manu Ki Jaya Nitai Gaur Premanande.